Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
When we talk about the Adelsons, Donna and Charlie, well, they usually eat up all the oxygen. Donna with her coded texts and courtroom bravado. Charlie with his dentist turned mastermind routine. But then there's Harvey, the quiet father, always sitting in court, never testifying, never really even speaking. For that matter, for years, he's been treated as a shadow, someone adjacent to the crime rather than inside of it. But in this round of testimony and documents, that shadow is starting to sharpen. We've got phone records tying Harvey's numbers to one of the hitmen, Sigfrido Garcia, weeks before Dan Markell's murder. Probably something you don't want on your call history. Not the kind of wrong number you just brush off. We've got Harvey allegedly looking at a one-way ticket to Vietnam right after the crime, a move prosecutors say screams consciousness of guilt. And we've also got the Dolce Vita recording. Scratchy and hard to hear, but still showing Harvey present during conversations prosecutors describe as very conspiratorial. Yeah. So the question is no longer whether Harvey benefited from Dan's murder. Everyone in that family at least seemed to, at least in their own weird way. The question is whether Harvey knew, whether he participated, and whether his role has been underestimated all along. What does the evidence really suggest about Harvey's knowledge? Was he an active contributor, a conspirator, or a cautious bystander willing to enjoy the financial fallout while looking the other way? Or was he completely clueless? And how does his courtroom presence, sitting almost Elmer Fudd-like in the gallery, square with the reality that prosecutors may have him in their sights next? To get into it, we're joined by retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer. She's tracked organized crime families, coded conversations, and flight risk suspects before. Jen, let's start here. Harvey's phone records, they showed contact with hitman Sigfrido Garcia. How do investigators decide if that's coincidence or a direct tie to the murder chain?
Well, I think one particular item will never stand on its own. But when you start adding up the items of circumstantial evidence against Harvey, that conversation at Dolce Vita, the fact that I would call this a clear sort of accessory after that crime, trying to leave the country and on a one-way ticket to Vietnam, all of that and the conversations and different text messages, it really starts to shine that he was involved.
It really is starting to feel that way. I got a lot of questions about the specifics, but let me just get your visceral reaction to what we've seen in the courtroom. He's been sitting there every single day, kind of by himself, looking a little Elmer Fuddy Stundish, I would say, every single day. What's been your take on Harvey in the courtroom watching all this unfold?
Well, I think he's worried. I mean, he's a smart man. This was a multimillionaire dentist. He not only was a good dentist, apparently, but he was a good businessman. And so he's no dummy. Mm-hmm. He's not a guy that's just back there sort of being led by, you know, a nose ring. This guy, I think, is smart, and he's seeing what the prosecution did, how the prosecution started with the low-hanging fruit, worked to Magnabaugh, and sorry if I'm saying her name wrong, Catherine. And then
Magbana, yeah.
Yeah, and then moved from there on to Donna. Obviously, Charlie first, mm-hmm. and he sees what the prosecution is doing. And with each trial, you see sort of the spattering of who they're going after next. And I see that spattering with both Harvey and Wendy in this trial.
Was he smart enough to keep out of it, though? Was he smart enough to just keep his nose and his business acumen and keep the money coming in and keep the family alive? Or do you think Harvey was part of the larger conversation here that likely was going on between Donna and Charlie and about getting rid of Dan Markell? And God knows if anybody else was in on those conversations. Or did he keep his nose clean? I think that's the big question.
Well, I think he knew. Look, they mm-hmm. were married forever. I think he knew, not just based on that, but based on the other indicators. That Dolce Vita film, I think, is bad for him, even though the sound is terrible, which yeah. always happens. But I think you look at that. But do I think they have enough to prove beyond a reasonable doubt? I don't know without anybody else testifying against him for the murder conspiracy, but what about the accessory after the fact?
Yeah.
That's where those types of actions that he took to go to Vietnam, it just shows such a consciousness of guilt. I could see them charging and then playing him down.
The Dolce Vita film is a tough one. It is insanely hard to understand. I think a lot of people's eyes glaze over when it's played because it's like, what is this? But I know you've paid greater attention to it. What about it? I mean, for those out there who haven't paid attention to that piece, what is so damning about it for Harvey?
Well, the damning part is that's what they're discussing. Mm-hmm. They're discussing all of this issues in the crime. And why would you discuss that? Now, on the flip side of that, remember, there are other discussions where I believe it's Donna that says, hey, let's not talk about it, you know, basically when Harvey's here. So mm-hmm. that's something that a defense for Harvey would be taking a look at, that sort of the juxtaposition between the conversation with Charlie and just opposing that with, hey, listen, they wanted to keep him out of it. Look, I think he's on the cusp. Do I think that would be a great case against him? No way. This is not a great case against him, but for a lesser charge.
It's interesting just to think about what could possibly happen there. This is a family that enjoyed communicating in code, or at least so they thought. They weren't the greatest at it. Donna texted Charlie about getting that birthday present for Harvey. Could be taken both ways, I guess. Prosecutors say it was code for murder. You know, from an FBI perspective, how do you prove a coded message is exactly that? And what does it say about Harvey if this gift is meant for him?
Well, I think the interesting thing is Harvey can't decide what gift is for him, right?
Yeah.
He's not involved in that conversation per se. But we love it as an FBI agent. I love it when people start saying, you know, the cake, meaning, or wow, you know, hey, let's go on a roller coaster today. Or how about there's, it's time for a big screen TV. And they just do it over and over and over again to refer to the criminal activity. We kind of salivate because we know juries love that. They see mm-hmm. through it. And we all see through it. And they somehow think that that's going to protect him. I guess it is better than saying, you know, hey, how did that murder hit go? better to say TV, but we all see through it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, the night the visit that they went to Charlie's, Harvey and Donna, straight to Charlie's house, the evening of the murder together. Does that look like a grieving family rallying together, or more like co-conspirators, you know, checking in after the plan succeeded?
Well, of course, with all we know now, co-conspirators. And then you add on top of that, those conversations with Rob. Rob, again, is the other son, good son, if you will. And sort of how they kept him in the dark and even hung up on him, you know. And his point was, and I think it's the point we all took, these people were not acting like you would normally act if the father of your grandchildren was just literally shot in the back of the head in his car. I mean, you would be worried about your daughter. You'd be worried about your family. You'd be wanting to understand why this happened. And they're just kind of like, yeah, it looks like he's dead. We're going to go up and check it out. Bye.
Yeah. Very, very passive on something. You'd think you'd be wondering, are we next? Is somebody mad at the whole group? But if you already know the answer to that, well, then your reaction is not going to quite be quite be there. What are they? Do you think that they are looking for something, that they're going to try and get something out of someone in this trial in terms of testimony that they can use as another piece in the puzzle against Harvey, that they're just waiting to get? Do they have enough to go after Harvey, and maybe they'll get something? Where do you think they're sitting here on him?
You know, I think their hope is, from a prosecution standpoint, I would be salivating if Donna decided to take the stand. Mm-hmm. And again, when you look at her counsel, who, to me, if she's convicted, they're going to have Sixth Amendment issues all over the place, possibly for a successful appeal, because her counsel seems quite inept on several different levels and not just her wardrobe. And so you wonder if Donna's going to be able to convince her in her la-la land that we know she's in. I mean, she wrote the script for in the jailhouse to say, right, she's in complete Hollywood land. Does she think she can maybe take that stand and convince those jurors that, listen, everybody's got it all wrong, and this is really what this meant and what this meant, and Gibbers was really a nice thing for me to call my son-in-law. I think a lot of people like this, like an Alec Murdaugh, really think that they can talk anybody into anything. And quite frankly, she's got a good track record. She's been able to talk Charlie, who was a dentist, I believe he was a periodontist, you know, very successful, into coordinating a murder.
Yeah.
So her whole life, she's been successful at control. And I think maybe she might take that stand just saying, see, I can even control a jury, but we'll see.
So here's where Harvey stands, not in handcuffs, not on trial, but far from clean. Phone records, coded text, suspicious travel. It's circumstantial, yes. But stacked together, it starts to weigh heavily. And in his presence at Dolce Vita, even if muffled by bad audio, you've got a portrait of a man who may not have ordered the hit, but was far too close to pretend ignorance. What Jennifer laid out, it cuts through the noise. Prosecutors don't need Harvey to be the mastermind. They just need him to have acted like someone who knew, helped, or benefited. That's how accessory charges are built. And Harvey's attempted exit to Vietnam is the kind of action that prosecutors drool over, because it screams flight risk. It screams knowledge, screams, I can't face what's coming. The bigger picture is strategy. Prosecutors have worked their way up. Garcia, Riviera, Catherine, Charlie, Donna. Every rung has brought them closer to Harvey and Wendy. Sitting in that courtroom every day, Harvey has to know the walls might be closing in. The question is whether they'll take the swing. And if they do, whether they'll get Donna to flip and seal it on the stand. Maybe she'll just do it by herself. For the public, Harvey's story is a reminder silence doesn't equal innocence. Sometimes it's just the call of someone hoping the storm passes them by. But with this much smoke, you have to wonder if investigators are already looking for the fire. Yeah, we're going to stop here on Harvey, but coming up, we're going to shift to Wendy Adelson with Jennifer Coffendaffer, the daughter whose testimony has been a masterclass in selective memory, distancing, and soft denials. If Harvey's the quiet shadow, Wendy is the reluctant spotlight. The question hanging over her is whether prosecutors are ready to turn suspicion into charges. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss that conversation. It is coming up right here in our feed. Press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching us on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us and take us wherever you are going. Looking forward to your thoughts in the comments. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pi is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat
sensitivity.
After 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it! They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's S-I-G-N-O-S.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.